An 11 years old child. Maharaj, I am 11 years old. I chant 2 rounds of japa. But my father and mother, they insist me and force me to chant more rounds on a regular basis. But I am more interested in reading Krishna's stories and watching his pastimes on video. Anyways, there are only a few CDs available. What should I do? Should I chant more like my parents are forcing me all the time? Should I read Krishna's stories? Or should I keep watching video CDs of Krishna?
Try to do all of those things. Surely your parents are speaking from the love and the concern of their hearts. And to honor the care and the love of our parents will give Krishna great pleasure. So try to follow your parents nicely. And after questions and answers, come and tell me who your parents are. And I'll discuss with them also. Hare Krishna.
The next question is for His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. When we practice devotional service, we derive strength and faith from certain aspects of devotional service more than the others. And there is a tendency that when we preach to others, the particular aspect that we derive strength from naturally comes out in our speech. The other devotee whom we are preaching to may probably derive strength from some other aspect. How do we preach to a person and give him what he needs rather than what we get faith from and what we are inspired by?
Well, as we explained yesterday, everyone needs faith. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, I can't remember which verse, it's a verse about faith. He said that the whole process of Krishna consciousness, Shadharatiya Bhakti Ranukramishya Shi, is 9-3, that's right. Is centered around the development of faith. So, any advancement that a devotee makes in Krishna consciousness means that his faith is becoming nourished and strengthened. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example that when faith takes birth in the heart of a living entity, it is like the birth of a newborn baby girl. And that newborn baby girl needs to be nourished, needs to be protected from hunger, thirst, heat and cold, and from dangerous elements. And he said the same way, for a devotee in Krishna consciousness, his beginning of Krishna consciousness is Shraddha. It's faith. It takes birth in the heart. So, for the development of Krishna consciousness, what we have to do as preachers, we have to learn how to see in that person what we can do to help them to increase their faith. Sometimes we may have a tendency to look at a person from external point of view. What can this person do for our movement? Or what can this person... That's also beneficial for that person to be engaged in service. But if we simply think about that person being engaged in service, but we don't think about that person's faith, we may be too busy about engaging that person in some service and not realize that his faith is becoming weakened. And one loses faith, it's very difficult for it to come back. So, the most important ingredient in a devotee's progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness is that we see that person's potential for devotional service and his potential for faith in Guru and Krishna, and we give them that. If we have our own convictions and our own realizations, if they're genuine and if they're based on faith, then we're helping them, even though it may not be based upon a particular taste that they may have. We're giving at least what we have realized, and we're not trying to give something that we haven't realized, because that won't increase their faith. So a devotee should always try to speak from his platform of realization, and if he has great conviction in what has nourished him in his Krishna consciousness, even if that may not be a particular aspect of another person's nourishment, still that conviction is contagious, and that conviction will help the other person to become increased in his faith in the process of devotional service. And then by giving in that way, Krishna helps us within our hearts to know what is the right way to preach to each and every individual that we preach to. That comes from advancing in Krishna consciousness, and comes both from the help of the Lord within the heart and by a devotee's sincere desire to give somebody Krishna consciousness. That should be the only single most focused motivation in our efforts to preach to somebody else, is that how can I make them attached to Guru and Krishna and increase their faith in the process of devotional service. If we see everyone in that way, then Krishna will inspire us to speak just what they need to hear to advance in Krishna consciousness.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is by His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. Do we get the association of the same devotees in the spiritual world with whom we had practiced Krishna consciousness in the material world?
I don't know. I haven't been there. Everything is based on desire. And in the spiritual world, it's a place of chintamani. So, if one's desire is to associate with those, and that's desires. So I'm using the principle of how things work and not so much exactly how that question should be answered. So if everything is based on desire, then if that's your desire, and that's also the desire of others to associate with you, then using that principle of fulfillment of all desires in the spiritual world, all desires are fulfilled, all spiritual desires, then logically, yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. This question is for His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. This is in regards to the answer you gave for the question yesterday about using your influential position in service to Krishna, job or career options, and to give direct time to Krishna. This is a question from a Mataji. She wants to know if the same answer applies to Matajis also.
Especially Matajis. Especially men also. It's especially for everyone.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is for His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. there is always a difficulty in finding the right balance between being very formal in following Vaishnava etiquette and being friendly. When we try to follow Vaishnava etiquette to its very core, there is a tendency to become very formal. And when we try to become very close and friendly, there is a tendency to become extremely frivolous. So sadhaka always struggles between these two. What should be done? How do we balance being formal and yet maintain good relations without being frivolous in our dealings?
It's an obvious answer. Krishna tells in Gita, this path is not for one who eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or sleeps too little. It is a path of a middle balance. Rupa Goswami teaches that we could fall down if we do not follow the rules and regulations of Vaishnavism. And it could also be an impediment to our spiritual lives if we follow them for the sake of following them strictly without understanding the spirit of why we follow them. The purpose of Vaishnava etiquette is to create loving exchanges between Vaishnavas according to our particular positions. To follow the formalities of Vaishnava etiquette without trying to develop actual relationships, if they're not coming from the heart, is simply ritualistic. And of course, acting whimsically in any situation is always unfavorable for devotional service. So we should understand the spirit and the purpose behind Vaishnava etiquette, and we should follow it accordingly. The spirit and the power behind it is to create congenial, loving, friendly relationships amongst Vaishnavas who are equals to please Krishna. So there must be a sincere, intelligent balance between the two. Smarta Brahmins are very expert at following rules and even rules of etiquette, but they forget the purpose behind it. The Yajnik Brahmins, they followed all the rules very carefully of performing a yajna, but the purpose of the yajna is to please Krishna. And when Krishna asked for some prasad through the cowherd boys, they considered that that was a disturbance to the execution of their yajna. So they missed the point. Krishna is pleased when we have loving relationships centered around him. And therefore Vaishnava etiquette is very important to protect us from making offenses and to nurture those relationships. So if we keep our focus on the purpose of Vaishnava etiquette and follow it accordingly, then we will not fall into either trappings of being too ritualistic or being too whimsical. Follow with the goal to achieve its purpose.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is for His Holiness Radhan, His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. This question is again from a Mataji. She's saying that when we have to live in our household, there are many challenges and struggles, especially taking care of the household chores. There are so many activities, taking care of the husband, taking care of the child, taking care of the household activities. And when we sit to chant, the only things that go on in the mind is these things. So, as a housewife practicing Krishna consciousness, how to not allow daily affairs to affect one's consciousness, especially when one is trying to chant the holy name?
Although the question is coming from Amataji, it's equally applied to those in the Grihastha Ashram. I'm sure it's not exclusively a Mataji question. And householders who have to maintain their family and go out and work and associate or be with non-devotees, they also have many challenges which also could potentially distract them from their japa and make it very difficult for them to be focused on the holy name when their opportunity is there to chant. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says three things are required for our development in our chanting of Hare Krishna. He says these three essential ingredients. The first is that we should always try to chant in the association of devotees who have taste. Of course, that may not be always accessible, but nonetheless, Lord Kapila Dev tells his mother Devahuti, Taye Dehi Sarava Sadvi Savar Sangha Vivarjita Sangaste Shvatate Prachat Sangha Dosha Harahite, that we should seek out the association of devotees who Marashreya Kata Mishta Shinvanti Katayanti Cha. The gauge constantly hearing and chanting about me, sadhus never suffer from miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my activities and pastimes. So he specifically says that one has to seek out the association of devotees who have some attraction, who have some taste and firm faith in the holy name of the Lord. The second is that one should remove themselves from all distractions, externally and internally. Internal distractions, we all know what they are, the different anartas that are within our heart. And when we recognize those anartas as obstacles in the path of devotional service, they become an impetus for prayer while we're chanting to overcome these anartas. But external distractions is we should try to chant in a place which is separate from our daily business. We should try to chant in a place which doesn't evoke memories of the things that we're always ordinarily busy with and engaged in our household duties. For instance, a man who's busy all day working, sitting at the computer, obviously shouldn't chant his rounds in front of the computer. Or obviously he shouldn't chant his rounds in his office, because everything he sees immediately stimulates the thoughts of his external duties. And therefore they can very easily become a distraction to his japa. Same thing for the householder, women. They should try to chant when their children are sleeping. They should try to chant in a place that evokes thoughts of Krishna, chanting before the deity, chanting before Tulsi Devi, chanting in that environment which will not stimulate thoughts about their other duties which consume the better part of their day. So that's removing oneself from distractions, which is a second part, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is essential for chanting. And the third ingredient is that one must have very firm determination. So if one tries to practically apply these three ingredients for successful chanting, then one can hopefully overcome the types of obstacles that were described by this Mataji in her household affairs It's a recommendation I can make to all householders. And brahmacharis, they also have distractions. It's not that they're free from distractions also. But they have the facility to be always surrounded by things that can help them to remember service to Guru and Krishna. And but still the internal distractions can very easily come up, as we saw last night. So I think I answered the question.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
The next question is for His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. Maharaj, out of the four regulative principles, the fourth regulative principle is very difficult to follow. And especially on a mental level, how does one follow the fourth regulative principle and avoid sensual desires?
How to practice avoiding that sinful activity? That's the question. All these restrictions are the basis of practicing Krishna consciousness successfully. This is a common struggle in Grihastha Ashram, and these questions come up regularly with gurus who have disciples who are struggling in this area. It's a process of cultivating the higher taste. It's explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Visaya Vinivartante Niharasya Dehinam Raso Varcham Raso Pyasya Param Drisra Nivartante. We have to develop that higher taste. But in the meantime, we have to very strictly avoid breaking these principles, because it takes away from the possibility of developing the higher taste. There are practical points that one can do in order to minimize the chances of breaking this, but that can be discussed. But generally, without that higher taste, it's hard. I mean, sometimes, you know, I receive letters from people who are struggling on this level. And I say, don't give up, but don't give in at the same time. You know? Reading Krishna's pastimes helps to develop our consciousness in developing a higher taste. Chanting in association with other grihasthas who are following, associating with those who have that strength, who are following, gives us the enthusiasm, the inspiration to work hard to overcome that. And avoiding those situations that stimulate that desire. When you're trying to overcome something negative, there's usually certain patterns that bring about that opportunity to fall into that, you know, mistake or that deviation again. Be aware of those patterns and avoid those patterns. That's from the negative point, but ultimately we have to go for the higher taste. So in our Krishna consciousness movement, one is not condemned, but at the same time one has to work to come up to the standard. And so it's difficult. There's many articles that have been written about this. There's been many, counseling sessions on how to overcome these things. So it's not such an easy thing. Each situation might be slightly different. But ultimately, from the spiritual perspective, we have to develop that higher taste. Because we understand when the higher taste is there, then the lower taste is not a taste anymore. We have the life of Jamunacharya. We saw that We saw that play the other night, which was very instructive. And Prabhupada quotes very regular in his speeches how, you know, when he fell into that role of playing the king, when he was a king for a long time, he became very degraded. And then later on, after he became back to his Krishna consciousness and then developed and became the Acharya, he just is disgusted when he thinks about all the sense gratification that he engaged in while he was in that position of a king. So these examples, we can see that it works. We just have to become determined, avoid the negative traps, and eventually associate with devotees who are doing it, get guidance, prayer, and continue on in your devotional service. You'll become successful as long as you don't give up. That's the point. As soon as you give up or you give in, or you become weakened, or you become overwhelmed, and then you think, I can't do it. No, you just got to continue to try and struggle. Because Krishna sees that determination, and he helps in various ways. So just don't give up.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is for His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Maharaj, the other day you mentioned in your class that a devotee is like a cow and does not get affected by the criticism of vultures. But it's very hard sometimes to find out who is a vulture and who is a cow. We might have a vulture who is disguised as a cow. He may be wearing tilak, kantimala, etc. And he might make criticism on us, make comments on us. How to discriminate whether the comments made on our devotional service are from a vulture or a genuine cow, and how to avoid being judgmental in such situations?
As long as we are sincerely following the teachings of the spiritual masters in Krishna, then we are protected. And whatever is said a devotee is eager to hear criticism to improve. And a devotee considers him or herself deserving much worse criticism than anyone could possibly speak. This is the humble nature of a Vaishnava. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipagam. That whatever insults from others, whatever pains are coming due to material nature, I deserve worse. Krishna is giving this to me for my purification. However, when people are blaspheming us or criticizing us, what is most important, as long as we are executing the order of Guru and Krishna, it should not divert us from our devotional service. It can make us more humble, make us more prayerful, make us more sincere, but it should not divert us from the path. If the spiritual master wants you to do something and people are blaspheming you for doing it, in that case, Srila Prabhupada gave the analogy that the dogs will bark, but the caravan must carry on. That is determination to carry on our devotional service. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was blasphemed. Srila Prabhupada was blasphemed. But they carried on the service of Guru and Krishna. That is all important. But if we are doing something wrong, we should be eager to accept being corrected. And even if we are doing our service nicely, the criticisms of others, it should humble us. But it should not distract our determination. Because the nature of the world is, the better you do, the more you'll be criticized. Even the greatest acharyas were heavily criticized. And Krishna, in every avatar, is really heavily criticized. Has anyone ever criticized you with the same power as Shishupal criticized Krishna? Or Hiranyaksha criticized and blasphemed Varahadev? Or Hiranyakashipu blasphemed Vishnu? Has any of you been criticized as much as Ram was by Ravana and so many others? So whoever you are, when you're in this material world, you will be criticized. A devotee feels, I deserve worse. But let me carry on executing the order of my spiritual master. Let that not be disturbed.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Narada Muni was very much criticized, and he was cursed. And Srila Prabhupada writes that because he was taking so many young boys and girls from the Western country and bringing them to Krishna consciousness, so many of their parents were cursing him the same way Daksha cursed Narada Muni. Prabhupada humbly took the curse. And he humbly asked all his disciples, now you take the curse on my behalf so I can write my books. He never gave up his service to his Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is for His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. Maharaj, I have been practicing Krishna consciousness for several years now and I have been aspiring initiation also, but I am in a state of confusion. When I see one guru leading very nice kirtans, I am very much inspired by his kirtans. When I see another guru giving very excellent lectures, I am inspired by his lectures. I am inspired by the personality of some other guru and his dealings with me. And there are so many such spiritual masters in ISKCON. And my mind is in an utter state of confusion. Whom do I take initiation from? So what is the basis of choosing a spiritual master when you feel inspired by different aspects of different spiritual masters?
You should accept this spiritual master who, within whom you see Krishna and Krishna's will. Spiritual master is Krishna's representative. As we've been saying that several times in answer to various questions, and we also spoke about it this morning in the lecture, that the whole process of devotional service is the development of faith. So the person, someone may create, awaken faith within our hearts, but who is actually, whose instructions are actually nurturing that faith, nourishing it, and causing it, that faith, to actually establish that connection with Krishna. Whose instructions do we fall back on when we're facing some difficulty, some difficult moments, and our trial or test? Whose instructions become the stick that we carry to continue to walk on the path, even though our feet may slip? In other words, there has to be substance in the relationship, and it cannot be just simply based upon some fleeting, sentimental, potentially sentimental notion about a relationship that may we wish to establish with someone because of their good kirtan or because they happen to give a nice class. That is a very sentimental foundation for accepting spiritual master. It has to go deeper in that. And if one really wants to accept spiritual master, he has to be prepared to do the groundwork. It's not such a cheap thing for Krishna to manifest himself before us as guru. Our groundwork is to be praying for it every day as part of our bhajan. Krishna, please reveal to me yourself through the words of my spiritual master. We should be praying like that as part of our daily bhajan. And if we sincerely pray in that way, and we sincerely help have that desire, then we'll get help. Prabhupada says that help, accepting a spiritual master, one gets help from within, from the heart, from the Lord. And then he also gets help externally from the manifestation of Guru, who is that external manifestation of the Supersoul. So when that instruction is confirmed in our hearts by testing, not blindly accepting, but testing that faith by applying their instructions through Vani, then by practical application of those instructions, we'll see that our faith will build around the instructions of a particular personality who may be our shelter. And then if we continue to pray daily, then Krishna will help within and he'll show, here I am. Now accept me, through the words of this Vaishnava. And then initiation is the beginning. Some people think initiation is the end. But Prabhupada very clearly makes it, states the case that once you've taken shelter of the bona fide spiritual master and taken initiation from him, then that is the beginning. It's not that we work everything to make it, position ourselves in just the right way to get the recognition we want, to get the recommendation that we want, to get the personality we want. It's not like we can stand up and externally get the attention and expect that to be our methodology for achieving Krishna. It's like the example of the maidservant of Srivas Thakur, whose name was Duki. Every day she would bring water for the Lord Chaitanya's bath and would leave it in front of the door so he would come and he would see the water there every day, but she was never standing there saying, look at me, I brought the water. She was always someplace far away. But Lord Chaitanya saw the water every day and said, who has brought this? Oh, that is Duki. And Lord Chaitanya says, Duki? No. Within my heart, she will always be Suki. So, if we serve in that way and have faith, then Krishna will come and he'll manifest before us and through the words of the spiritual master. I remember one lecture Srila Prabhupada said that we should not accept spiritual master simply. Of course, he was speaking about the situation at the time that he at a particular time he was speaking, simply because he has long beard. And what was the other thing he said? Something, a look in his eyes. Prabhupada was making the point that we don't accept spiritual master simply based upon something external, but it's based upon something very internal, and that is the faith and the application of their instructions. Then Krishna will reveal.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is for His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. Maharaj, as the famous English saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. When we live with devotees, there is a tendency to become very familiar with them, and we are not very careful in our dealings with the devotees whom we live with because of familiarity. So how to see to it that we don't become a victim of familiarity when we are living with devotees?
By serving the devotees in a way that pleases the devotees, by seeing the good qualities, we may say that everyone has good qualities, everyone has some faults. Prabhupada uses the example of the fly. He goes for the stool and the bee goes for the honey. So there's a statement by Srila Prabhupada emphasizing this point. Devotees should be like a honeybee, trying to see the good qualities in other devotees. And actually, it's a matter of consciousness. If you're looking for faults, you'll find them. And if you're looking for the good qualities, you'll also find them. It's based on your consciousness or how you want to see things. So a devotee is... Adosha Darshini, he doesn't find faults in others. And as Ranath Maharaj was saying a couple times in this series of lectures, that to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, one has to chant the holy names of the Lord and remove that tendency to find faults from others. So look for the good qualities and at the same time serve the Vaishnavas. And then that will bring about the proper consciousness. And to appreciate the association of devotees. One way to really appreciate devotees is to go outside of the association of devotees. And then you really appreciate the association of devotees. And you'll start to see when you're associating with non-devotees, although they may have some external good qualities in the way they do things and so many other things, but ultimately they're all self-motivated. They always act based on whatever is their own personal interest. But the devotee is the opposite. He's concerned about helping others, about serving others. So we can appreciate the association of devotees because devotees are very special. Even the very simple, maybe say not so qualified in spiritual practice devotee, still he's very special because he's come to Krishna consciousness, he's come to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So try to see the good qualities, and if you do that, you'll start to see that you're realizing you miss so many other things when we're not looking for that. So.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is for His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Like you regularly say that 50 years of steady service is better than 1 year of explosive service. But to remain steady in Krishna consciousness is a challenge. We are affected usually by inertia. Physical sickness is challenging our steadiness in Krishna consciousness. And at the same time our age is also progressing. So how do we see to it that we remain steady in our Krishna consciousness in the face of all of these things, inertia, physical sickness, progressing age, etc.?
Bhakti is the process of offering our body, mind, words, and life in the service of Krishna. When you're young and when you're old, you may not have the same physical and mental offerings to give, but Krishna sees the purpose in which everything is offered. It means we're giving the best we can in whatever situation. And to be giving the best we can, to follow the regulative principles, to follow the vow of chanting at least 16 rounds, to serve the Vaishnavas, to serve the mission of Guru and Gauranga. That is steadiness in devotional service. Details may change according to circumstances, but that spirit of devotion should remain steady in all circumstances. Srila Prabhupada is Acharya. He was traveling around the world. When he was sick, he would sometimes go to Stinson Beach or to Vrindavan to recover. In his last days, he was laying in bed. But service to his Guru Maharaj's mission, remembering Krishna, chanting his holy name, serving the Vaishnavas, was his intent in every situation. And he was doing what he could in every situation. So to be the best we can be and to do the best we can through all the various changes in life is to be steady in our devotional service.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is for His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. This question was asked to one of our devotees here by another devotee. His question is that in ISKCON, many of the spiritual masters we find that it's very hard to get their personal time. We come for the programs, we hear lectures, we see them, but we do not get their personal time. Nor do we have any specific material or spiritual qualification which will draw their attention. So this devotee was asked by this one devotee that how then should we accept anyone in ISKCON as our spiritual master? Because no one is there to give us that time, that personal attention. Should we just go to some other sampradaya or something and take initiation?
I think I partially answered that question in the last question about accepting a spiritual master and doing the groundwork ourselves. That's part of the answer. That it's not a cheap thing for Krishna to manifest himself in our heart. And to get a confirmation within our heart that the instructions of this person are the foundation of my faith and devotional service. I think Prabhupada used to give the example of first preparing the soil before the seed is planted. And in the same way, we have to do our work to prepare ourselves. And we also, certainly it is according to scriptural injunction, that one has to test the spiritual master before accepting the spiritual master, and the spiritual master has to test the disciple. And therefore, there are very various ways of associating with the spiritual master through his representatives, which enables us to test the spiritual master, that the representative is You know, supposed to be the Prabhupada, I think, in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, he said that his disciples, they have to be his representatives and they have to be prepared to defeat others' arguments on behalf of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master also has representatives. And Maharaj was giving the example yesterday of how Jiva Goswami soundly defeated Rupa Narayan. That's the Rupa Narayan, wasn't it? And because of soundly defeating them, you know, he was able to convince them to accept who Jiva Goswami accepted as his guru, as Rupa Sanatan. And so in the same way, the representative of the spiritual master, they have to be able to defeat the arguments of the candidates for devotional service, and they have to nourish faith. So if one may not have direct association with the spiritual master, then the spiritual master is thinking of how to give his association in other ways to make himself personally accessible. We grew up in as disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we grew up in a culture that, you know, the Prabhupada was present in his books. Prabhupada was present in his instructions. Prabhupada was present in his representatives. And because of that implicit faith in Prabhupada, we accepted. So, if the spiritual master is somebody that we speak and we hear from, excuse me, not speak, but hear from regularly, if it awakens some faith in their hearts, then we should also seek out those who properly represent the spiritual master and to see how they can help us overcome our doubts and to nourish our strength in devotional service. And see them as representing the spiritual master and as good as getting the association of the spiritual master. If once that faith is awakened, it has to be nourished. Without pushti, it's very difficult to advance in spiritual life. So one has to become very eager to go for it, to seek it out, and not expect that one's necessarily going to be, you know, the person who's materially and spiritually qualified to get that recognition. Although sometimes even a moment's association can be sufficient to catapult somebody's enthusiasm and devotional service for a whole lifetime, as we saw what Srila Prabhupada did. There are many devotees now whose spiritual life has been nourished and sustained by just a momentary glance of Prabhupada, or just a slight shake of the hand, or some small gesture in some way that the devotee never forgot. I think of a devotee named Prabhupada Das who went to 26th Second Avenue, and he was going and hearing Prabhupada's lectures, and he wasn't ready for to surrender. And he said that one day Srila Prabhupada came to him. He was holding a dhoti, and he said, "Please put this, take this, accept this." And Prabhupada Das said, "I'm not ready now, Swamiji. I'm not ready for this yet." He was, he openly admits he was, at that time of his period of his life, he was really most of the time coming to Prabhupada's lectures on intoxication. In fact, Prabhupada even one day stopped him in the door and said, "Lana, you are on LSD today?" But anyways, Prabhupada handed him the dhoti, and then Prabhupada saw a tear in his eye. And he said he never forgot that. And 10 years later, he came and he joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement because he never forgot that tear. So something very small, but something very substantial, can have a very deep impact if we're eager to obtain it.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. The next question is for His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. Maharaj, in order to practice Krishna consciousness, especially in today's day and age,
a certain amount of material necessities or a certain amount of material comfort is needed to practice Krishna consciousness steadily. Is it true that we need that material comfort to practice Krishna consciousness in today's day and age? And if so, how much should we endeavor for this material comfort in this material situation?
You need a place to sleep. You need something to eat. I mean, the standard for material requirements differ from ashram to ashram. For the renounced order, that includes the sannyasis and brahmacharis, no. For grihasthas, they have to maintain their household, so there's some requirements to maintain job and for family and responsibilities. But there's no material, you know, requirement for Krishna consciousness. It's free from all material. You have to maintain your body. And if you're a grihastha, you have to maintain the responsibilities of grihastha ashram. So in each case, for practice of Krishna consciousness successfully, the minimum is emphasized, not the maximum. Whatever is necessary, not beyond that. And so that has to be evaluated. And therefore, in that case, we need to get instructions and advice from senior devotees. What do I need to help me practice successfully? If we judge for ourselves, our material desires will jump in and then we'll start thinking, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. Maybe some things you do, but to get an honest evaluation, you have to go for others who know you and know how best to give advice to help you. But back to the principle, no, in the sense that there's no material requirement, but you have to take care of your body and your responsibilities. That's there. If you're sick, it's hard to execute your devotional service. So you have to take precautions not to get sick, and you have to take remedies when you do get sick. If you have to get, and Prabhupada says, you know, we're using cars, we're using airplanes, we're using computers. Why? Because they are helpful in spreading Krishna consciousness for preaching, but not for our own sense gratification. Nothing should be done for sense gratification. Everything should be done as a service to the Lord, even maintaining our own bodies and the extensions of our bodies. That's the principle of Yukta Vairagya, to use everything in the service of the Lord. And the principle is to minimize one's bodily needs in such a way that one can practice Krishna consciousness successfully.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. There's a bag full of questions here, probably for the next 3-4 Pune Yatras. But somehow in this material world, time is conspicuous by its presence. So we have to stop at this time. Also, Krishna Chandrapur was saying that in the last 22 years, this is our 21st Pune Yatra. We just missed one. So hopefully we'll next time have a 8 days Pune Yatra, so we can have a lot of question and answer session. So let us thank His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj for their wonderful, deep, profound and enlivening answers by loudly chanting, Revo! 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 At this time, we'll break for prasadam. And as soon as prasadam is over, we'll all assemble again here in the pandal for the concluding and the closing session. Abhi hum log prasad ke liye jayenge aur prasad ke paschat